song. I'm here with my son, Pastor Carl has introduced him. He's involved in an exchange program, University of Kansas, K-State University. So I'm here to help him to repatriate some of his stuff back to the UK. He'll be finishing in a week's time. So I asked my wife, I said, would she like to come? She said, I should go. I thought, well, that's good. I wanted an excuse to travel anyway. So I'm here with him. Thank you very much for the great opportunity to be a blessing today. I know you're going to be blessed. Thank God for mothers, you know, but that, if not because of fathers, you know, mothers are...
Tell me about it.
It's about fathers. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I do that also at home. With Mother's Day, I make them understand that, you know, fathers too. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know it's Mother's Day today. To thank God for mothers. You know the greatest gift we can give to mothers is when we become somebody.
Amen.
As children.
Amen.
It's when we lift them up. Amen. We do as they tell us outside of the home. And we come back and make them proud. And
right.
Leave all their labor has not been in vain. We come back home and the report about you is, you know when the report about you is not so good, the fathers just say, hey, it's the mother that said you won't kill me. It's the mother that, oh, my mother used to say that, it's the child that will not allow his son to sleep, he also will not taste of. It's my mother that will, in the night, that will do what needs to be done, discipline. It's my mother who does this. It's my mother, when I come back from school, the report is not good. It's the mother who, first of all, receives the report. Daddy comes back, he's tired from work, he goes to bed. He shakes his head. It's the mother who will read them. I mean, thank God for mothers.
Amen.
So one of the greatest gifts we can give them is to succeed in the things that we do.
Amen.
Means that their labor in vain, their labor will not be in vain.
Amen.
God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I love that song, sir. That song. That song you sang. This is my desire. One of the gifts I don't have is the gift to sing. My son, my daughter, my wife, they sing beautiful. But me, as I was explaining to Pastor Carl yesterday, everybody in my own family, I'm talking not my wife's family, my own family, my dad can sing. Because my dad can prophesy like anything. My brothers can sing, but my brothers can prophesy. They see things in the spirit. My sisters, they are lawyers, both prank or speak, they can't sing either. But they are gifted. And I also, I cannot sing, but I have grace. My father-in-law went to be with the Lord late last year. Awful, powerful, powerful singer, powerful. My brother-in-law's awesome. My son, awesome. My daughter, awesome. So maybe God is partial. Praise the name of the Lord. But God is good.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. You'll have to forgive me, my glasses are not with me, and I can't see beneath the light very well. Thank you very much. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. There was a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, namely for Manasseh, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he was given Gilead and Bashan. Father, we thank you because your word is living and alive.
Amen.
Thank you because you have great stuff that is in that you will dispense in our lives.
Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will give us insight into those things that are meaningful to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we ask, Lord, that at the end of our meeting today, your name will be glorified.
Amen.
And we will be edified.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Very rarely do you find in the scriptures where the Bible will take out a chapter and talk about a particular family. We know that there are 12 tribes in Israel, but you will find that in Joshua chapter 17, Joshua 17 talks mainly, half of the scriptures, or half of chapter 17, talks mainly about the tribe of Manasseh. But then, is there not also the tribe of Dan? Is there not also the tribe of Levi? Is there not also the tribe of Simeon? They're not also the tribe, the other 12 tribes. How come specifically chapter 17 deals with Manasseh? And I want to take just a bit of time to lay certain foundations so that you can understand Joshua chapter 17 and the greatness that God has in stock for those that are believers. Now, Joshua chapter 17 talks about a man called Joseph who had two children. The older is called Manasseh, and the younger is called Ephraim. The story starts. Jacob had been in Israel, or in Canaan, and he had a son. He had many sons. One of his sons was called Joseph. And Joseph had been sold into the land of Egypt. And years gone by, finally Jacob got to understand that his son had not died. And finally he made his way into Egypt. And how Jacob was so happy to see his son. After a number of years, the man was very old at the point of his death. And he called Joseph and said, "Joseph, bring your two children that I may bless them." The older is called Manasseh, for God has made me forget the toil of my years. The name of this younger is called Ephraim, for he has made me to become fruitful in the land of my toil. So here comes Jacob, very old. His eyes were dim, but prophetically he was very strong. And so as Joseph was bringing his sons, he had Manasseh on his left hand, that he would take him to the right hand of his father, and that he would take Ephraim, the younger, and put on the left side of his father. The man being so old, as Joseph brought the older son towards the right hand of his father Jacob, Jacob switched his hand. When he switched his hand, he placed the arm of strength upon the younger and the weaker arm upon the older. And Joseph said, "No, my father, not so." Because the prophetic words of a dying man,
come on now,
are very powerful.
That's right.
It is not so powerful. Esau would not have wept after Jacob had stolen his blessing. And he came to Isaac and said to Isaac, "Is there not a single blessing you could give me?" Because the prophetic words of a dying man carry weight. It was the words of Jacob concerning Manasseh that was strange. He said to Joseph, He also shall be great. What that means is that he will be great, but he will not be as great as his younger brother. Right. So which means that Manasseh would live in the shadow or in the shadows of his younger. Have you grown up in a family where you know your father desires the younger over you? Have you ever been raised in Africa, in a place where you know that even though you are the first, but yet you have been overlooked? How does it make you feel? Now, Ephraim and Manasseh were not young, because they were young. I mean, Jacob had spent over 17 years in the land of Egypt. So at the time in which their grandfather had laid the hands over Manasseh and over Ephraim, they probably were 21 years old. As a 21-year-old man, you hear your grandfather say prophetically, you will be great, but you will not be as great as your younger brother. He says he will be great, but, oh, I tell you, growing up knowing that your younger brother will be greater than you can prove to be problematic. Growing up knowing that if he succeeds to a particular level, you cannot rise beyond that level. Which means that even if your younger brother fails you, because you are woeful, because the standard of your life is measured by the standard of the younger. He also shall be. So, here was both of them growing up. And understanding something in scriptures is so awesome, because it doesn't matter what prophetic, negative prophetic words have been spoken over you, it is possible to rise above.
That's right.
Amen.
So here was Joshua chapter 17. Now begin to talk about Manasseh, who is the older. When you read Joshua chapter 16, you will discover that the inheritance that was given to both Manasseh and Ephraim, it was easy for Ephraim to receive his inheritance. Very little, just 3 or 4 verses were mentioned concerning Ephraim. His inheritance just came so quickly because a prophetic word was over his life. However, Joshua chapter 17 gives us something different about Manasseh. And the reason I believe is written there for us is to encourage you that it doesn't matter what your teachers have said about you. It doesn't matter what your boss has said about you. It doesn't matter what your uncle has said about you. You can rise above every negative word, and that shall be your portion in the name of Jesus. In fact, when you read chapter 16, if you have your Bibles in Joshua chapter 16, it says, the lot fell to the children of Joseph from the Jordan by the Jericho to the waters of Jericho on the east, the wilderness that goes up from Jericho through the mountain of Bethel. Then we now go down to verse 4. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. The borders of the children, now look at how it starts. It says both of them took their inheritance, but then the next verse talks about the beginning of the inheritance and start with Ephraim. It shouldn't start with Ephraim. Ephraim is the younger. But the Bible starts with Ephraim before he now moves over to Manasseh. And that's because the Lord wants to show us something great and mighty. Now, chapter 17. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. Namely, for Maaseiah, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war, therefore he was given Gilead and Bashan. Now the Bible says, here was Manasseh, who also had children. But among his children, there was a particular man who chose not to settle for less. The Bible says, this man, mention him by name, says he received 2 inheritances And the reason he received it was because he was a man of war.
Come on.
The reason he received it, now the Bible now says, when you read, it says, and there was, listen, look at verse 2 of verse 1, the end of verse 1. Because he was a man of war, therefore he was given Gilead and Bashan. Verse 2. And there was a lot for the rest of them. Okay? There was a lot for the rest of them. But here was this one who decided that, you know what, even though there is a lot for everybody, I am not everybody.
Come on now.
That I can choose to be different.
Hey.
That regardless of the prophetic word that may have been spoken, and I want to say to you today, there are certain things that you negotiate about in life. Life doesn't give you what you deserve. It gives you what you are able to command.
Come on.
The Bible says he received two because he was a man of war. Truth is, church, there are some people that only receive the inheritance through warfare. There are some things that you will only receive if you have a warlike spirit. Have you not read in scriptures, in the year that the kings go to war, in those days, a kingdom is expanded through warfare. So here, if you have a king who is not strong in battle, he loses his territory because he does not have a warlike spirit. The Bible says, our God is a man of war. And if our God is a man of war, I want to say certain things to you today. That through warfare, you have to receive certain things that belong to you. After Esau had wept before his father and determined he was going to kill his brother, Isaac said to Esau, the day you become restless, then you remove the yoke from his neck. You need to read the scriptures to discover it took 400 years for the dynasty of Esau to remove the yoke, because Esau and Jacob's tribe ruled over entirely for 400 years over the tribe, over his brother's lineage. One of Esau, it took 400 years. After 400 years, the Bible says they broke. They rebelled. There are times when we need to rebel.
Come on.
There are times when you need to rise up to receive the things that are coming to you.
Right.
There are times when you need to decide that, you know what, I'm not going to sit down and allow what is good to go past me. I pray that God will give us strength to be able to listen.
Amen.
Now, they were dividing land. Once they were dividing land, one man decided that you can give everybody one, but I ain't deserving of two. You know, those are the kind of people who say, does he have two heads? But the truth is, some people have two heads. Say, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? If you don't know where you are going, other people will tell you which way.
That's right.
But you've got to know what you want for your own life.
Right.
And there are times when through warfare, through having a warlike spirit, you challenge the things that are challenging you. Oh, we're in America. America will not give you anything. You negotiate what you need to have.
Come on.
So he was a man of war, therefore two were given to him. So you can imagine they were dividing. And he had two, and then the rest of them said, one of you go and share that. One of you go, what about him? He had two heads. Oh no, he knew what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided that through warfare, he was going to receive it. Let's go on, I want to show you something. And the Bible says, verse 2, and there was a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh, according to their families, for the children of Abiezer, the children of Helek, the children of Ariel, the children of Shechem, the children of Hepha, the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, according to their families. So he now lists the children. So the rest of them were to share. All of them were to share. However, this particular tribe, through warfare, received a double portion. May you receive a double portion in the name of Jesus. Now go to verse, go to the next verse. But when the Bible says but, it means consider. The Bible now says but. Everybody say but with me.
But
Zelophehad, the son of Hepha, the son of Gilead, the son of Masia, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters, and these were the names of the daughters. Now hold on. Why would the scripture tell us about Zelophehad? Why would the scripture tell us and make us read? I mean, they're not the only children in the whole tribe of Israel. But because God wants to catch your attention, He wants you to really understand what is actually going on. So the Bible now goes on to say, and they came near before Eleazar, the priest, before Joshua, the son of Nun, before the rulers, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord,
He gave them.
You need to understand the story. Numbers chapter 28. Go to Numbers chapter 28. Okay? Go to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. This thrills me. Okay? This thrills me very much. Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 27. Numbers 27. Then the children of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Manasseh, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and these were their names. Verse 2. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar. Understand this, everybody. It was in history that when they are dividing land, or when they are giving inheritance, they only give inheritance to male children. Yes. That was the portion.
Yes.
Anybody who's a male child, you have a portion, and you have a portion, and you give that. Now, these five girls sat down one day among themselves and said, sisters, hey, are we going to sit down and allow good to pass us by? One of the sisters would have said, are we going to challenge Moses? Do you not see that those who challenged Moses, did they not die in the wilderness? That was why one of them said to Moses, our father, he died of his own sin. He did not die in the rebellion of Korah. They mentioned it because they understood that if you challenge Moses, the next thing that happens really is death. But they sat down and discussed it and said, you know what? We can't just sit down. And because there is no male in our lineage, therefore our name to be wiped away. So they did not just come to Moses. They came to the tent. The Bible says they came to Moses. They came to Eleazar the priest. They came to the rulers. And they came to the whole congregation, the four of them. So the courage they must have summoned to say, Moses, come, Moses, please. And we respect the law of the land. We respect what you are doing. However, if you negate to give us our inheritance, it means that our own tribe, our father's name, will be totally removed. Moses was confused. Moses says, let me go and speak to God. Moses goes to speak to God. And God says to Moses, I mean, it amazes me. Go with me. Go to verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, I've gone past this, that's not it. Verse 6. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. Hold on. So if the five girls had kept quiet, God would just look at
that. That's right.
Mm.
As you speak in
the And I know there are many things that are in the heart of God that is just waiting for you.
Come on now.
You decide you don't want no problem.
Come on now.
He will not force himself on you. You decide you don't want a husband, no problem. He says no problem. You decide you don't want you, no problem. You don't want this, no problem. So all this while, all this while, God sat in the heavens and was watching to see what the girls will do. Watching to see what they will do. If after they had discussed and they had said, let us leave it. God will leave it, no problem. You want to leave it there? No problem with it. The reason we don't get the things we need at times is because we have not actually pressed the right button. It's because we have not asked the way. The Bible says in John 14, 20, up till now, you have not asked.
Yes, sir.
Up till now, you have not asked. Up till now, you have not asked. Up till now, you have not yet asked. I believe that there are women here. Today is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Who can command the heavens and the heavens will respond?
Oh.
And the Lord said to Moses, what they are saying is right. Oh, they challenged the status quo. They challenged whatever is law. If there's going to be any change for us, it will not begin in heaven. It will have to begin upon the face of the earth. Oh, I believe I'm talking to a lady here who wants certain changes to take place in their life. Am I talking to a lady here who decides that something can take place? You know, I will say the things that are written for our learning.
Right.
So this is written to make us understand we can challenge the status quo. Trump is challenging the status quo.
That's true. That's true. That's so true.
He's challenging the status quo.
That's so true.
And he's progressing and progressing. And I'm saying to you here tonight that there is nothing you desire according to his divine plan and purpose that cannot be received by you. And may that happen in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to say to you, whoever has spoken into your destiny, you can change it.
Yes, sir.
If they say you can't, you can.
Amen.
If they say it's not possible, it's possible.
Amen.
When we were growing up, we used to have those choo-choo trains. I don't know whether you know those choo-choo trains that have the smoke. You know, we watch it like Tom Tom, and you know, you hear the train saying choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. You know, you've heard it? Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. You know what they're saying? I think I can. I think I can. And when it's going up a steep hill, says, I think I can. When he's now going down the hill, he says, I knew I could. But what I'm saying here is, the five daughters of Zelophehad, they challenged the status. The daughters of Zelophehad,